40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. Better keep that rain gear handy in some parts of the nation, including Florida and in the Gulf Coast area. WJAX-TV meteorologist Trevor Gibbs explains why.
With plenty of heavy rainfall where those storms are forming, some frequent lightning, some strong gusty winds, and in the strongest part of those storms, there will be the potential for another round of some hail like what we saw on Thursday, as well as even the potential for an isolated tornado with some wind shear in place. It's a relatively low threat, but something we're going to be watching closely today.
In Cleveland, Texas, a manhunt is underway for the suspect who allegedly shot and killed five people, including an eight-year-old. KHOU-TV's Brittany Ford with the latest.
39-year-old Francisco Oropeza. Now, he's a suspect wanted for five counts of murder. The sheriff says there is a history at this home with the suspect. Deputies responded to this home on Walter Drive in San Jacinto County around 11:30 last night after receiving a harassment call. Now, when they arrived, they found multiple people shot. We're told five people are dead, three others taken to the hospital. The ages of the victims ranging from 8 to 40 years old.
Heavy fighting between two factions in Sudan is driving the flight of hundreds of Americans and others from dire conditions. CBS's Raimi Innocencio.
Those Americans left Sudan's capital of Khartoum on Friday in a convoy of 18 buses, embarking on a drive that took over 12 hours and 500 miles to the East Coast. All this while confirmed to be under top cover protection, which likely means U.S. military drones were flying overhead. From there, these American civilians will then sail from Port Sudan across the Red Sea, which is another 12-hour journey and 200 miles to here in Jeddah.
The Army has grounded flights after several deadly helicopter crashes. CBS's Catherine Herridge.
The Army Chief of Staff has ordered a total aviation stand down after the collision of two Apache helicopters in Alaska. Three soldiers were killed in the crash late Thursday near the town of Healy. They had been returning from a routine training mission. A fourth soldier was also injured and is in stable condition.
Calls for more union demonstrations in France. CBS's Elaine Cobb is there.
French unions have called for a massive day of protests Monday. May 1st is traditionally a day of labor protests. This time, much of the focus will be on the unpopular pension reforms that start rolling in September. Security around the country is being stepped up amid fears the protests could become violent.
There have been months of demonstrations after the government raised the retirement age by 2 years despite opposition. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were apparent in the November elections. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked should not give up. Mike Moen reports.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election, but Republicans maintained strong control over the legislature. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican. But the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election with the hope a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. And there could be legislation floated again next year to develop an independent redistricting process. In the meantime, he says the current maps allow a smaller percentage of voters to decide who controls the legislature, leaving other voters behind in fair representation.
Urban areas in Wisconsin have suffered a decline in the shared revenue from the state, even though those people pay taxes.
Heck says that means less support for schools, roads, and other public needs. Analysts say lawmakers representing these areas get packed into boundaries that ultimately diminish their voices at the state capitol. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Don't you deserve a job you'd love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
I saw it go. Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? I saw it go. Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
I saw it go. You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Is it a good thing or a bad thing that our political leaders are way more religious than we are? 844-967-2789. Now, full disclosure, I would say the three of us, Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, me, Kristen Bry, not religious people.
I am not.
Jane is not.
I am an atheist.
I don't know if I'm an atheist. I was raised Catholic, and then...
So you're atheist light.
You could be agnostic.
Well, I think it's like, I believe in being a good person. Like, I feel like what's funny is that there's so much of the actual, like, Christian beliefs of, like, being a good person and taking care of others and stuff that is, like, very much at the core fabric of who I am. But as far as like going to church, feeling like I'm talking to someone whenever I was praying, like that kind of stuff, like that's just a disconnect for me. And so, and on average, while we are not in the majority, year over year, there's less and less of the American public who identifies as any organized religion.
Yeah.
As of right now, it's about 65.4%. Versus Congress, which is at 90%. That's just Christian.
Well, you asked the question. Repeat the question for me again.
So the question is, so the premise is this. The share of U.S. adults and Congress members who identify with religion is very different. And our elected officials, most of whom are Christian, but there's, this is also the other religions as well. So our elected officials, on average, are much more of them are religious than the public is. And I'm asking, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
So I would just make one little asterisk to that question, is that politicians say they are religious.
Fair.
Because in this country, they have to. It's just the way it is.
Well, and that's where, so I got this from Axios, which wrote this up, and it's based off of Pew Research Center. And they found, they did a survey, basically. So this is some of the stats to break it down for you at home and Greg and Jane. So of the overrepresentation in Congress, so of the U.S. adults, 65.4% are Christian. Sorry, so I got that wrong before. It's not just religious, it's specifically Christian. 90% of Congress is Christian.
Yeah.
1.9% of U.S. adults are Jewish. 6.2% are in Congress. Of Congress, 6.2% is Jewish. So overrepresented there. And then it's flipped on the opposite side. So of members of Congress, 3.7% are unaffiliated or do not know versus 26%, almost 27, 26.8% of U.S. adults. And the only equally represented group is 0.6% of U.S. adults are Muslim and 0.6% of Congress is Muslim, which is basically Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, I would think.
And the leader of the...
Is he Muslim or is he Christian?
No, he's Muslim.
He is Muslim. Yeah. Okay, so... Three. And there's probably another one I'm missing, yeah. But 0.6.
I'm surprised so many people in Congress will identify as unaffiliated because they have to be running in super, super safe districts and very liberal areas to say that, because I remember when Elizabeth Dole went after, I can't remember what her name was, saying she was an atheist, like trying to say she's an atheist, and thought that was going to be the way of Elizabeth Dole getting the senator, the job of senator. And her opponent, who I cannot remember right now, said, I am a Sunday school teacher. I am not, I mean, like, nothing against those individuals, but like, you were just patently wrong. But you can try to attack that, and that can win you an election, or in Elizabeth Dole's case, make it look a moron. But I'm just surprised that many people are identifying as unaffiliated. That's shocking to me. In fact, if anything, I'm surprised the Christian number isn't higher.
Oh, higher than 90?
Yep.
Well, think about it. At 90, and then you add Jewish, that's at 96.
Okay, yeah.
You know, at that point, you're at 96.2%. Then you add Buddhist, and so yeah, so it's really like the 3% yeah. that is as unaffiliated.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I just think it's interesting because I think you're right. On the one hand, it says... You know, when you are campaigning and you're saying that something like, I want to give you hope that things can be better, but I do not believe in God. Yep. And yeah. So like there's potentially like the cognitive dissonance between having faith in something mm-hmm. and having faith then by proxy that things can and should be better. But it's also interesting in the way that then is not really representative as far as, especially on cultural issues, where we are as a society. And, you know, I mean, we haven't touched on this right now, but in Texas, didn't they just pass that they're going to put in public schools, put the Ten Commandments everywhere? And so, and I don't, it's a catch 22, right? As far as even if right now we said, and anyone at home, you at home saying, this is not a good thing, 844-967-2789. But would you vote for someone if they were proudly atheist?
If their policy is aligned with what I believe were like that represented me, absolutely. I mean, I've been voting for Christians for my entire life. So my entire voting life. So I don't have a problem voting for them. I would have no problem voting for an atheist, agnostic, a Buddhist, a Jewish person, Church of Satan. I wouldn't care. if they said, these are the things I believe in, I'd be like, all right, that's my person. I'm gonna punch that ticket.
Yeah, it's certainly for me, like their religious affiliation is nowhere on the radar for me as far as who I vote for. But
that's easy for us to say, though.
Is it an assumption? Is it just because this is the way it's always been done, and so the assumption is you can't run successfully without talking about your religion and your faith? Has it been tested enough?
I think it depends. I think it depends on the office sought. So if you're running for school board, my guess, well, no, I take that back. I'm a pro-black school board. School board can be very religious now. But if you're running for alder person, I mean, I don't remember a whole lot of when I was working on a campaign for mayor, even in Racine. I remember the whack job saying, what does he think about abortion? I'm like, well, he has his opinions on abortion, but that has nothing to do with this job. He has no power when it comes to that decision. He's not running for Supreme Court. So, I mean, if you're running for Congress, especially Congress nowadays, senator or president, you got to talk religion. You have to believe in God. The moment you'd say you don't believe in God, you might as well just cash in your chips and go home. I don't think there is a viable road to that office if you come out, unless, like I said, you live in a very open-minded district, or you are running as a very safe candidate.
And yet I find it so interesting that because you claim to be a religious person, that is no guarantee of actual piety.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't. It doesn't prove anything.
Whether you're an elected official.
Or not.
Or an average person.
Exactly.
And that's why I said who are Christian versus who say they are Christian, because it's easy to just say, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Jesus is my guy. That's my guy up there. That's my homeboy. Yeah.
Righteous Gemstones. Is that going to have a third season?
I think so,
season?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that show.
844-967-2789. Is it a good or a bad thing that our politicians claim to be far more religious than the general public? 608 checking in with a text. Love what you guys are doing for local politics and reminding me to vote locally. Anyone that needs the threat of eternal damnation to be a good person is not a good person.
Hey, maybe that's one of the reasons that Ron Johnson can give the Republicans to vote for them. Eternal damnation. There's one. You're welcome, Rojo.
Well, and the other thing that really bothers me is the cherry picking that goes on.
So that's the second time you brought up cherry picking today.
I know. But if you're gonna cite something from Leviticus as the hard and fast rule that has to be followed,
yeah,
there are a whole bunch of other things in Leviticus that you have to follow too. At least, in my opinion.
I feel like I need to memorize that, because I see other people be able to roll that off the tongue. I've seen on TikTok a million times, as far as everything Leviticus says,
it covers a lot of stuff.
And isn't it like you can't?
No tattoos.
You can't lie next to your wife during your period.
No pork.
That one in there. No pork.
No bacon. No pork roast. Sorry.
You can't plant crops of different kinds across from each other.
I don't think women can cut their hair.
Touching the skin of a pig. There's a great scene from The West Wing that does that.
People can do it. I feel like that is a goal for me, to memorize it so that I can quickly use that rebuttal. I actually don't come up against it very often.
But the thing is, Leviticus is like old hat now. If someone like brings up Leviticus, they already know that they've lost the battle, because they know that they're going to be just.
I don't think that's
smacked
true.
In the face. I don't hear anybody talking about Leviticus anymore. I just hear people just say, "The Bible says don't be gay," and like that's all they say. But they don't quote Leviticus anymore, because they know, I mean, like,
I've seen a lot of TikTok comments with people talking about Leviticus, and then they get taken down very quickly by people who
point out the other things that are covered in Leviticus, yes. And those are laws that they don't like, and they don't support their arguments.
That aren't convenient.
Exactly.
Because I want to cut my hair.
Exactly. And I want to have a BLT, man.
Remember those signs from early pandemic and the original protests that were happening at the Capitol when people wanted to end the lockdown?
I want my
haircut. And there was just that random woman who was like, I want a haircut.
That happened at Brookfield Square, and that woman, and I know for a fact that woman owned a salon inside of Brookfield Square. That's why she did it.
Really?
Yep, she did that. That was all.
That's some inside baseball that I did not know. That was when I was early days locked in Wisconsin Rapids.
Inside baseball with Greg, where I talk about everything but baseball.
844-967-2789. We're coming up against a break. We will be taking your calls and your texts on the other side. Is it a good or a bad thing that our politicians claim they are more religious than the general public? Stay in your home.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Don't settle for big box service and pricing when it comes to your flooring. Choose Straight Edge Flooring for quality and personalized service. A family-owned flooring company, they offer full-service flooring solutions from material to install, including on-site dust-free refinishing. Straight Edge Flooring installers are CFI certified and fully insured, with free in-home consultations to simplify your project. Choose Straight Edge Flooring. Log on straightedgewi.com. That's straightedgewi.com. Or call 414-779-8931 and make your vision a reality.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Weather brought to you by Next Tech Glass, your hometown experts for auto, residential, and commercial glass repair and replacement. Please visit nexttechglass.com. That's nexttechglass.com.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 50. Winds out of the west, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance for scattered showers. Lows dip down to about 37. Overcast skies tomorrow. A mixture of precipitation likely. High temperatures reach up to 44. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you, but I gotta think twice.
Is it a good or a bad thing that our political leaders are, on average, so much more religious than those us sinners?
There you go.
Apostates. I prefer apostate.
Ooh, good one.
This just sounds wonderful.
844-967-2789. Taking your calls. Scott from Chicago. Thanks for joining us, Coast Wisconsin. What do you want to say?
Hey, guys. So there's some, like, I'm probably going to be unpopular with most Christians listening to the station right now, but I am a strong Christian. And these days, I would vote for an atheist before I vote for someone who says they're Christian.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's saying something.
And why is that, Scott?
I mean, it goes to the famous Gandhi quote, "I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians." I don't see a single politician that says they're Christian who acts like Christ.
And I think, you know, Scott, that's so interesting because I feel like, as I even made that epiphany about myself of just the things that I think are my value system, may or may not have come from like the religious background that I had as far as being a good person. Mm-hmm. But I remember from a very young age being like, why would I, like, this doesn't make any sense that you're supposed to be a good person under threat of going to hell versus just doing it to do it, or of the promise of going to heaven. Like, it feels like the bad motivations for doing the right thing is because some eventual carrot or stick.
Yeah,
and it's like, I mean, I'm not Christian because I'm afraid of hell. I'm Christian because that's kind of, I mean, that's a whole different debate. But like, I don't see a single politician who says they're Christian who acts like the Bible.
And if they did act like the Bible, would that make you want to vote for them? Or do you think it's something, because we should be a division of church and state, that shouldn't be a part of the calculus at all?
I don't think that the politics should play in. I don't think the religion should play into the political stances. I think the religion should affect their moral beliefs, mm-hmm. and those moral beliefs should motivate those policies, not their religious beliefs.
I totally agree, Scott.
Really appreciate this call, Scott. Thank you
very
so much.
Very well put, Scott.
844-967-2789. If you want to check in with us, either text or phone. 414 says, here's a term you see on a lot of campaign literature. I believe in Christian values. This does not mean the person is religious, church-going, or a believer. It is a line to get elected. Mm-hmm. There's so many more qualities to getting elected than whether you're religious or not. To me, character is what counts.
Yeah. And it's just interesting because it feels like there is, I'm sure most risk-averse campaign managers would never let you not run with some kind of religious affiliation.
Yeah, they would tell you to lie.
Yeah, and in because it's not tested, like you said, unless you're in a very safe seat, and with gerrymandering in so many states, there's plenty of those.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to think of like who's going to be the sacrificial lamb. Like let's test this theory on how many people, how many voters out there really care whether or not how religious I am. And obviously it's different depending, like you said, I don't remember in the mayor's race for Milwaukee when Mayor Johnson won, him talking about his religious affiliation.
Yeah. They just, I mean, they can say things of like, you know, my faith in people, my faith in family, but they're never given questions that regard or define their faith. And honestly, someone who could today be like, yeah, I don't believe in God anymore, will be just fine. Robin Voss, he could do that today. He honestly couldn't. I think there'd be very little repercussion on the action.
Well, look at what happened with Donald Trump, for heaven's sakes. He was asked what his second his favorite verse was. His favorite, it was 2 Corinthians. No, that's not right.
Yeah. He likes them all. They're all great.
They're all my favorites.
Especially the ones that deal with slavery. He loves those ones too. He loves all the words. He reads the best words, Jane.
Absolutely.
The best words. Yes. Donald Trump for 2024.
Is this a new thing, or have you been calling him this for a while?
I've been calling this for a while, but I've never done it on air. This is the premiere joke.
It does roll off the tongue nicely.
Yeah, I prefer it to people like making other nicknames for him, because they all seem to be like underhand mean. Now, he's a mean guy, but I just like Donald Trump just sounds funny to me.
Trump?
I have a
Donald Trump.
I have an extension on my computer that anytime the word Trump comes up, it comes up as Drumpf.
Sometimes it's the little joys in life, right,
Thank
Greg?
You,
if you do not know what we're talking about, I'm going to write this as a reminder to myself. Back in 2016.
Yeah.
During the election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, Last Week Tonight, John Oliver did a whole half hour, basically, dedicated to his last name and the power and the influence of a name like Trump. But they basically did like the etymology, like background research, that likely his last name derives from Drumpf.
D-R-U-M-P-F. Drumpf.
And was that ever fact-checked?
I think so. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think so.
Because I mean, they do their research on that show, but it was such a ridiculous premise, and how over the top the episode was. There was like a big sign that came down. I think there was confetti.
Make America Drumpf again. But then they created a Chrome extension that you install it, and anytime Trump comes up on there, it reads as Drumpf. Still works.
Send me the link to the extension so I can put it in the show notes for today.
Will do.
Why spread the joy? Isn't that some Christian values for you? Spread the love.
Sharing. It's about sharing what you have.
Making America Drumpf.
All right.
Again.
When we come back, Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford is going to join us. She is a comedian based out of Madison, but she is also the first ever trans woman to be elected to office in Madison. On April 4th, she was elected to Common Council. So I'm excited to talk to her about what the new job's like, what inspired her to run, and also what transferable skills being a comedian brings to being an elected official. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I gotta have faith. Oh, I gotta have faith. Because I gotta have faith.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. Wicked weather is on the way from much of the eastern seaboard, including Florida. Kelly Cass at the Weather Channel with more.
Rainfall will be very heavy, especially with those thunderstorms down toward the south and the Gulf Coast. 1 to 2 inches of rain, otherwise up to an inch in most locations.
Police are looking for Francisco Oropeza in Cleveland, Texas, after he allegedly shot and killed 5 people. KHOU-TV's Brittany Ford.
The sheriff says the suspect, Oropeza, fled on foot or bicycle. He says there's currently a search for him. The sheriff describing Oropeza as armed and dangerous.
Hundreds of Americans are getting out of Sudan amid fighting as two rival generals vie for power. CBS's Ramey Innocencio.
Our source linked to this evacuation says over 500 Americans are now being processed, and they are fleeing a conflict that erupted exactly 2 weeks ago today.
People from other nations are also fleeing. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Are you an experienced industrial painter, drywall finisher, or want to be? Do you want more than a job, but a high-paying career where your interests are well-represented, ensuring a safe work environment? The International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7 wants you. Bring your knowledge or ask about paid training. Learn more now. Call Tom Coyne, 262-488-4839, 262-488-4839, or go to the union's website, iupatdc7.com.
Embroidery Professionals Plus, how may I help you?
I'm needing to get some patches made for a club I'm in. Is that something you guys do?
Absolutely.
I'm not sure how to get started.
Well, I'm happy to walk you through the process. Custom patches could be made in any size or shape and can be embroidered or printed. To get started, email your design.
Embroidery Professionals Plus has custom apparel specialists ready to work with your club, too. 2 Wisconsin locations in Deerfield and Eden. Embroidery Professionals Plus, apparel you love, service you crave. Oh, yeah, and home of the Wisconsin Tailgater hoodie.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madinair. And sobriety, sober curious, just drinking less, all of those things are on the rise. In fact, the no alcohol drinks market surpassed $11 billion in 2022.
Holy cow. Wow.
Yeah, which is up. Yeah, which is up from $8 billion in 2018. And a part of the, you know, part of that market, obviously some is the actual packaged NA drinks and NA beer and NA wine. But it's also
establishments. It's also bars, and bars like Inoxicated, which is in Racine. And here to tell us more about that bar and the NA scene there is Inoxicated's manager, Jeff Gustin. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good. And so how long have you been working at Inoxicated? I guess, how long have you guys been open?
Well, we've been open a year and a half.
Okay, so still pretty new.
Yeah, we're the new kids on the block, but we're growing fast.
And so what is the scene like? Like, what is, like, kind of paint a picture of what a night out at Inoxicated as a place that does not serve any alcohol, but also serves many other alcohol-adjacent fun mocktails. Yeah. What does an average night look like?
It looks just like any other typical bar in Wisconsin, except everybody's sober. I've bartended on and off my whole life, so we basically recreated your typical Wisconsin corner bar. We just left the alcohol out. We used all different alternatives and recreate the classic drinks by taste. So people that don't want to drink or are living a sober lifestyle can have their nightlife back without alcohol interfering in it.
Jeff, I just think the whole thing is so great. I really do. This is certainly something we've talked about before on this show. The growing number of places, growing number of people. It's national headlines all the time about how much Wisconsinites drink. So it's really, yeah, it's really wonderful to see these alternatives popping up and for people to still have a place to go and have fun instead of, you mean you're not going to have a drink?
You'll never get questioned here.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a terrible question, though, when it's like, what do you mean you're not going to have a drink? What? Because I'm guilty of something if I'm not imbibing?
That's the way they make you feel, especially here in Wisconsin. And because of that, a lot of people that, you know, are living a sober lifestyle, they just don't go out. Yeah. Every event in Wisconsin seems to be centered around alcohol or have alcohol present. So somebody that's battling an addiction, they have no place to go. And we're not just geared towards people in addiction. We're geared towards everybody that doesn't want to have a drink this particular day. It's just going over very well. And the more people that find us, the more people that come out. And we do, like I said, everything you would see in a bar, we have here. I don't know if you can see too well behind me. That's my back bar.
Yeah.
Well, alcohol-free alternatives that we make our cocktails with.
So I guess that's my next question, because I feel like NA beer has come a very long way. There are so many different options that are really, really good. I've not ventured into NA wine. I have tried one NA bourbon alternative that maybe I just need to mix it with the right mixers, but I was not impressed with that one. So as far as what has been, like, in the market of NA alternatives, is it some that are specifically supposed to taste like booze but aren't boozy, or is it just kind of in the mocktail, like, it's about mixing the right ingredients together to kind of replicate that?
With the alternatives, they're not made to be drank alone. They have to be mixed to come to life. We do have a whiskey or a bourbon alternative that I can drink straight on ice.
Wait, what's the name of that one?
Spiritless Kentucky 74.
Okay.
There's a trick to that, because there's a product called Disco Inferno that you put two drops in your drink, and it doesn't change the taste, but it gives you that sensation that you just had a drink.
Oh.
Really brought it up to the next level. But even with that, most of the alternatives, you can taste where they're trying to go. But once you mix them is when they come to life.
So what are some of the, like, your, what are the more popular mocktails that you guys make?
So one of our biggest ones is, we're in Wisconsin, so you had to have an old fashioned.
Yep.
And we do ours with a whiskey alternative, and we use a smoke top and a torch, and we smoke it with oak wood. So it gives it that aged barrel sense of taste when you smell the oak when you come up to take a drink. One of our other best-selling ones is a White Russian. It's made with cold brew coffee, a vanilla vodka alternative, and Irish cream. And I have one of those almost every day. They're phenomenal.
just call you the sober Big Lebowski.
Exactly. we currently got about 20 mocktails on our menu, and we can just about duplicate any drink. If you came in and ordered your favorite alcohol version drink, I would tell you if I can make it so that it'll taste right or not. You know, last thing I want to do is give you something that doesn't taste right.
Jeff, has the alcohol-free wine, is that getting any better? Because I did try some a couple of years ago, and I was not impressed.
See, I was never a wine person. I didn't like it all along. And I don't like the alcohol-free wine because it tastes like wine. We have a couple wines that are really good sellers. I've actually had a customer get teared up because she thought she would never taste red wine again.
Oh.
So the people that like wine... there is a good substitute out there, and they don't just taste like juice anymore. They have that wine taste. And part of the reason is because a lot of them are de-alkalizing wine that's already made. So they go through all the steps of making the wine, and they pull all the alcohol back out and just leave you with the flavor.
We're talking to Jeff Gustin, who's the manager at Inmoxicated, which is in Racine, and it is a no-alcohol bar. And so you said that on and off for your adult life, you've been a bartender. And so were you a mixologist, like specifically crafting cocktails that did have alcohol in them before you were here?
I called myself a bartender, and until I started here, I just served drinks.
Okay.
I worked at your typical Wisconsin bars. I poured whiskey and Coke into a glass and said I was a bartender. I didn't become a bartender until we opened here and we started designing and coming up with our own drinks from scratch and really putting that extra effort into it. All of our drinks are measured per the recipe. They're all fully garnished the way they should be. Alcohol's not the entertainment. So they're coming here for a good experience all the way through. And it's pretty rewarding when you come up with a brand new drink that nobody else has and your customer tells you how good it is.
Yeah, I would imagine. And so I guess, so there's that part of it, but you said that in the beginning that the bar, you know, it's looks like a bar, there's trivia nights, there's all the fun, but I have to imagine bar time looks a little different.
Yes. We close that. I never knew bartending could be this good.
Wow.
Somebody spills a drink, it's legitimately an accident. We've never had an argument. The bathrooms are clean at the end of the night. And people that aren't alcohol driven, we go home early. I mean, we close at 10 o'clock.
I was going to ask, how late are you guys open?
We close at 10 o'clock because our customer base does go home early. And we're not one of those places. We don't want to be a stop for people to try to come in here and sober up. If we suspect somebody's been drinking, we'll ask them to leave. You have to be sober to be here. We're alcohol free, and we don't want the alcohol problems to come in after somebody has fueled up somewhere else, so to speak.
And I have to think too, Jeff, that for young single women or for any single woman, it's got to be a lot easier to go into a bar that doesn't serve alcohol if you just want to have a drink and a conversation without getting drooled over, or right?
I've heard that, how nice it is not having to worry about that.
Some drunk schmuck, and you know, you got to fend him off. And I just think it just sounds like a pleasant experience all the way around. I assume you have bar dice. It is Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Funny story with the bar dice. We had a group of ladies in here shooting pool, a group of guys came in, and the guy's sitting at the bar says, "I'm gonna go introduce myself." I'm like, "Oh, no, you know, all my past is coming out. I can see it." I have never seen a more respectful introduction. They all shot pool for a while. Then they came back to the bar and sat down and shot bar dice. They got halfway through the first round, and one of the ladies stops and goes, "What are we playing for?"
I was just going to ask my question.
Well, you know what they did? They played for shots just like they used to. And they had a blast, and they played for a good hour straight. But we don't have the problems you see in traditional bars. And I'm not saying all bars have problems, but there's always that alcohol-driven potential, and we just don't see that here.
And it's so funny that it's, you know, baked into our, and I've lived a lot of different places, and this is everywhere, that's like a drinking bar culture where you kind of get a, you know, you get a jail out of free card, unless you're actually in jail for something you did while drunk. But, you know, it's like we excuse behavior that if sober, we would never tolerate, of like trashing a bathroom, spilling drinks, starting a fight. But for some reason, when there's alcohol involved, we're like, well, they were drunk. And we just kind of excuse it. And so it's so fascinating to hear that this is the best bartending job you've had, because there's just so many less issues you have to deal with and, you know, people problems.
Yeah, like I said, I never knew it could be this good.
And so for you, what was the motivation? Were you skeptical at all as far as making, like, leaving a traditional bar to go do this?
I worked on and off at different bars, so I didn't leave a bar to come here. Shannon Goodman, who's the owner, we're actually engaged. So we're doing this as a partnership, and because I had the experience, I just apply it here. It's pretty much the same concept. It's just a little bit different, you know, as far as events and trying to read people, because they're not alcohol driven. But you know, it just seemed like the right thing. She quit drinking. Today is actually her 2-year anniversary from not drinking. So I got everything all decorated, and we're having a big party tonight.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's incredible. That's well, congratulations both on the engagement and to her. And I'm so happy to hear. I mean, a year and a half, especially a new concept coming out of COVID, had to be intimidating as far as like, how is this going to stick? And so to hear that you guys, people like it and people are showing up, is so encouraging to hear. As far as, I think there's just a lot more people who are, even if they're not giving up drinking entirely, wanting the option to not feel pressured to have to drink all the time.
Yeah, we've seen everything. You can come and sit here and sit next to somebody that's been sober for 30 years, and the person on the other side is going to a traditional bar after he has a couple drinks here. He's starting his night here. So we have every walk of life, every age. You know, it's just like walking into a bar.
And that is a good question, though. Is it any age? So can kids go in?
We were 21 and up, but we changed it to 18 and up. So we wanted to give them, you know, a chance to see what's out there without having to experience the alcohol. And it's such a growing trend that, you know, especially the younger kids, they're not drinking like we used to. Or yeah. Like I used to.
And that's I used to either.
that's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
Janie, do you have a question?
Again, what are some of the other things that you're hearing from customers, Jeff? It just sounds like such an oasis for people who are still social and want to be sociable. And again, without all of that pressure of what's wrong with you, you're not drinking. So what have some of your customers said?
We've had very grateful customers. Some are finally, you know, they're so thrilled to finally get their nightlife back, have something to go out and do without running the risk of slipping up and having alcohol. We've had people tell us they wouldn't still be sober if we weren't here. You know, they have a bad day at work, so his habits were going to a traditional bar. He has his old habit back. He comes here and has a beer, but it's not an alcohol beer. So he's not slipping up, but he's still getting his frustration out and winding his day down, you know, by his old habits, just a healthier way.
Well, this is awesome. Jane, we have to go down. We'll make a trip down to Racine and come visit you guys and have one of those old-fashioned. But Jeff Gustin, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Wachs, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities.
If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras, Thompson, and Watts, GTWLawyers.com.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Weather brought to you by Next Tech Glass, your hometown experts for auto, residential, and commercial glass repair and replacement. Please visit nexttechglass.com. That's nexttechglass.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 37 tonight under cloudy skies with a chance for scattered rain showers. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy again tomorrow. A mixture of precipitation likely. Highs around 44. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow night. Lows around 35. Overcast. A dusting of snow Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and this is another day that it's just flown by.
It really has. Jeff was great. That was so much fun, and it's so encouraging.
It is really encouraging. And now I'm trying to think. There's a new one in Wausau too. I feel like I was listening to Bullfall Radio this morning, and we had a commercial running on the radio station that was a new alcohol-free bar up there. And now the name of the location is escaping me. But not that I have plans to become sober anytime soon, but I've been cutting back drinking. And it's interesting to think of how much being around people who drink makes you want to drink.
Definitely.
Because, you know, it's also just sometimes being the only sober one at the end of the night. You're like, yeah, I'm going to go home. Like the, you can all somehow can, I've had this experience and then had to be like, oh, I'm also the person who sometimes is so drunk that I think I'm making sense. And the person I'm talking to who's also drunk thinks I make sense. But then if you're the sober person in that conversation, you're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, how are you following each other's conversation? Neither of you make any sense right now.
Different plane of logic or illogic, as it were.
But it's like the fact that they can talk to each other and they get it. And yet the sober one is like, I am not following you right now.
Yeah. Which just indicates what it does to your brain. I mean, seriously, it definitely alters you. So I'm just delighted to hear of Inmoxicated success. And as you said, there are some others growing around the state, and that's great. And it would be great too if the younger generation coming up will not only vote more regularly than my generation did, but they will drink less than my generation did.
But that's interesting. So if your generation was not voting much, was it just apathy? Like post Vietnam War, there was just a generation of why would I vote? Why does it matter?
Life's pretty good. Life's pretty good, you know? And if you weren't fired up by the Equal Rights Amendment or women's issues, I think it was a lot easier just to let things go. And that that apathy of, it's not going to affect me. You know, it's not going to, whoever I vote for, the outcome is not going to change my life or affect my life very much.
Well, it's also interesting to think if it was, you know, like things just didn't seem that bad. Or if like everything was just kind of like, well, it's fine. Versus, I don't know, you could probably attribute it to a lot of different things, whether it's a 24-hour news cycle or social media, of just more information and more entities out there, whether purposefully trying to scare you or just the reality of
this is what it
certain
is.
Facts, yeah, yeah, scaring you into action, versus maybe what it was like in the 70s? Because I don't, at the top of my head, I can't remember the charts as kind of the ebbs and flows of 18 to 25 or 21 to 27, right? Like the youngest voting age of what, how much people were voting. But right now people are fired up, which
is great. It is great. And I think they are in, they are becoming more informed and not just voting for the D or the R, but actually finding out what the candidate behind that letter stands for.
Yeah. And well, and truly they, we make it so easy now, as far as it's just at your fingertips, which is also interesting because then I feel like the push to limit kids' social media use, which I think there are some good arguments for it because there's plenty of evidence that shows how detrimental it can be to their mental health. And yet it is also a tool for them to get a lot of information and be the most informed generation we've ever had, right? Of coming out of high school is just how much they know. That certainly when I was in high school, like I, you know, I had to write one really long paper in high school and I wrote it on Queen Elizabeth I. And that was like checking books out. This was in high school. And like, you could look up some information online, but
you still had to
mostly
go to the-
it was, I was checking books out about Queen Elizabeth and citing, like I had a bunch of book, you know, like the little post-it notes of like, this is where I'm going to come back and I'm going to rewrite this and blah, blah, blah. But then if that would have been 2002, by 2000, 10 years later, when I was writing my thesis, I don't think I checked a single book out.
Different world. Right?
Like, just I think
a completely
it was all
different world. Yeah.
JSTOR.org of written like papers and research that had been published, but I could download as a PDF and copy and paste into, you know, collect my quotes, recite them, quote them. But in such a short period of time of just like how easy it was. And now it's even easier.
Yeah.
I'd imagine.
Definitely.
So, all right. Well, that was a fun. That was a very fun show. But tomorrow, Greg Bach will be back. And we're actually going to talk to a journalist who is a free, she's a freelance journalist, and she wrote an article for Cap Times about a underground sharing economy that's happening in Madison. We're like, no money needed, no tender exchanged. It is all trade.
Really?
Yeah. So that's going to be tomorrow at 1. And I think that's going to be super interesting to see what she learned. She was researching for that article.
So it's a barter economy.
It's a barter economy. Of course, it's happening in Madison.
Well, naturally.
But yeah. So I'm excited about that. But then coming up next, obviously, you got Luke and Brian for Dueling Tangents. You got Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio. So stay tuned for that. And then at 4 o'clock at 2 o'clock, you have Matt Flynn. Then 4 o'clock, you got
Dominic and Jim Santel today.
Jim Santel.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
so that'll be interesting. Jim Santel, because Crude is still gone for now. But stick around on Civic Media and always come back tomorrow when we'll do this all again. But thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. Thank you for listening. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
Milwaukee. You have to check out Mob Craft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mob Craft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mob Craft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee. For more info,
you are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.